The OPEC chief visits Moscow as oil prices slide, and Orthodox Christians mark 1,000 years since the death of Prince Vladimir. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL. Joining me in the studio to discuss the things we expect to make news in Russia this week is Pavel Butorin, senior producer for RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. So OPEC Secretary General Abdullah Al-Badri is due in Moscow on Wednesday. And the visit comes amid sliding oil prices and fears in Moscow that they could slide even further once sanctions are lifted on Iran. Russia's been lobbying OPEC to cut production in order to boost prices. But until now, OPEC and Saudi Arabia in particular have been reluctant to do so. But the Iran deal may be changing that. Pavel, what are you looking for in Al-Badri's visit?
Yes, Al-Badri will be meeting with Russia's energy minister, Alexander Novak. Clearly, with sanctions lifted, the prospect of an influx of Iranian crude oil onto the market has dampened oil prices. Ahead of the Moscow meeting, the Russian energy minister said he was not expecting a big impact on prices from additional oil volumes from Iran. However, this is clearly the topic of the Moscow talks. And there may be a difference among the key oil market players in estimates of how much the return of Iranian oil on the market might affect the price. Novak actually says the prices will be determined by the production costs of shale oil. And it's actually unclear when Iran may start exporting more oil. Reports suggest that Iran may reach its pre-sanctions output capacity until closer to the end of the year. We don't really know how much of an impact it will take.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of jockeying going on right now because Moscow has been lobbying OPEC to boost production, to cut production, to lower price, to bring prices down. The Saudis have been unwilling to do that because they like a moderately low price because it undercuts U.S. shale production, basically. So the oil's around $54 a barrel right now, which is about the level everybody can tolerate. Russia would like it a bit higher. It's interesting to see now with the Iranian oil potentially coming on the market, if OPEC might at the end of the day agree to production cut. I think Russia's position on whether the Iranian oil affecting the market is wishful thinking, quite frankly. I just don't see how all that Iranian oil coming on the market is not going to have an effect on price. And moreover, when sanctions came in on energy sanctions came in Iran, it was Russia that was able to move into Iran's old markets. And it's Russia that's going to bear the cost, I think, of Iran getting if they get back.
And it's particularly interesting because Russia is among those six world powers that reached the landmark nuclear deal with Iran.
Yeah. And watching that deal, I always just kept wondering, Moscow can't like this deal because it hurts. I think it hurts Russia in so many ways. I mean, not just with the oil, but with the gas. I mean, Iran's the third largest gas producer in the world, but it's somewhere in the 20s in terms of exporting. So we'll be sure to keep a close eye on Al-Badri's visit this week to see what kind of signals come out of that. Another event we're looking at this week, shifting from energy to religion. In Russia, he's called Prince Vladimir. In Ukraine, he's called Prince Volodymyr. His feast day is tomorrow, July 28th, and this year marks the 1,000th anniversary of his death. Vladimir, or Volodymyr, of course, brought Christianity to Kievan Rus, which both modern-day Russia and modern-day Ukraine claim as the predecessor to their respective states. Pavel, how is this day being marked in Russia and Ukraine? Are there signs of the tension between Russia and Ukraine playing out in the patron saint of both countries?
Yeah, right. Well, Vladimir or Volodymyr, it's the same name, really. Putin's name in Ukraine is also
Volodymyr. I was just being careful.
both countries are marking the anniversary with grand Orthodox services. The Moscow Patriarchate announced that it will be conducting mass baptisms near Moscow, but also in Crimea, which Russia annexed a year and a half ago. Now, according to Russian Orthodox tradition, Prince Vladimir was baptized in Chersonesus in Crimea. This fact is now being particularly amplified by Moscow, and it was last year, is yet another pretext to justify the annexation of the peninsula.
Putin even uses the claim that Crimea is sacred ground for Russia, akin to the Jerusalem. No,
exactly. That's exactly what he said during his annexation speech. And Kiev will, of course, hold its own festivities honoring Prince Vladimir. The Russian Orthodox Church will not be sending a delegation to Kiev. A church spokesman said that because the Ukrainian Orthodox Church is part of the Moscow Patriarchate, it makes no sense to send any additional envoys. And according to Moscow, the feast day of Saint Vladimir signifies Russian and Ukrainian unity. So there's that. And, you know, there's a debate in Moscow over the construction of a monument,
to Prince
Vladimir.
Now, there already is a monument in Kyiv, of course, the famous monument.
Oh, yes, absolutely, with the cross and everything. But in Moscow, the debate is not just about the future location of the monument, but about the, you know, the significance of having such a monument at all. And critics have said that, its intention is to sort of justify and legalize a possible monarchy in Russia, which it would be a symbolic monument to Vladimir Putin,
right,
some critics
right.
say. So, yeah, but, you know, we talked about how Russia and Ukraine are both trying to sort of claim Vladimir as their own.
Yeah.
Sort of the predecessor and the creator of this proto-Slavic state.
Right, Kiev and Rus, which both claim to be the predecessor of their states. So, well, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on how these celebrations play out this week. There's a battle over history going on, as there is a battle going on over the Donbass. Anything else catch your eye this week, Pavel? Anything interesting you see?
Well, one thing that caught my eye this morning was how Russia is now trying to create. A patriotic media holding, which will be led by pro-Kremlin musicians, and the intention is to create an quote unquote incubator of Russia's own talent. And they said something like, "In the political situation now is such that we don't want Russian people to listen to any Western music," something that we've been through when I was growing up in Russia.
We've seen this all before. Yeah, it's funny how things would be. So this would be basically an entertainment channel, essentially.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. And not just a media channel, but also an entity that will train musicians in the right ideology.
Well, that'll be fun to watch. It'll be fodder for some stories in the upcoming days, I'm sure. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. We'll wrap it up. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast, and joining me has been Pavel Butorin, senior producer for RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Join us again next week, and now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.